right. Counsel, we've read your briefs and your record excerpts, and to that extent, we're familiar with your cases. And I know you're all familiar with our lighting system. You now have a readout on your side of the podium that tells you how much time you have left. When your yellow light comes on, begin to bring your argument to a close, and then when the red light appears, finish your sentence and stop. I remind you that rebuttal is for rebuttal only. And we call the first case Copemar versus Hornbeck, and we hear first from Ms. Palmer.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Julie Palmer. My voice carries pretty well. My kids never seem to have a problem hearing me. Good morning. I'm here this morning representing Exeter Marine, a Bahamian company, who is the owner of the Eelair, a Marshall Islands flag vessel.
You can pull that mic around just a little bit. So
I will. Thank you.
The young members of the panel can hear you.
A Marshall Islands flag flotel vessel that was operating in international waters in the Bay of Campeche. I also represent Ocean Oil Construction, who is the bareboat charter and a Luxembourg company. And finally, Codemar was a Mexican company who was a charter and operator of the Eelair. They have brought suit against three U.S. corporations, all of which are resident here in the state of Louisiana. And they named a in rem vessel in the underlying suit and have since arrested that vessel. So to be clear, there are seven parties involved. Only one of those parties is a Mexican entity.
Yeah, and y'all had to file, just because of the timing, sort of cross letters that didn't capture each other. Did you want to respond to your opponent's letter on the Beaufort in rem action?
With regard to the response that was filed, it's largely the same response that they filed, or the same motion they filed with regard to release of the arrest of the vessel. This is a U.S. vessel. We have obviously a valid maritime lien. There's no question about it. This is a valid claim. The mate that was on board fell asleep. He was flat out asleep. The watchman came up yelling to wake him up. They hit the center of our vessel. So there's no question as to the validity of the claim or whether this creates a maritime lien.
But I think they are questioning it, aren't they?
Well, they are raising questions as to it, but there should be no question as to it. We have a $20 million loss from a very obviously negligent scenario where someone is simply asleep and their claim is that somehow we no longer have a maritime lien against the vessel.
Getting into the depth of it, because I'm sure Judge Lemon will work her way through that. The question to me is, did you want to respond to their argument that it really doesn't matter that this in rem is pending, to the question of what the Judge Hittner had in front of him when he made the FNC ruling?
It does matter, Your Honor, and in the underlying case in front of Judge Hittner, we did name the vessel. We had no opportunity to seize the vessel, so we could not bring her before the court. So there has been a material and significant change in that the vessel has returned to the United States. We have seized the vessel. She is now under arrest in the United States. That is a significant connection and brings this matter and tips the forum nonconvenience issues. If you look at the cases relating to forum nonconvenience involving an in rem action, they're going to have to show tantamount injustice. There is no injustice.
I think you said in your brief that there's no in rem action recognized in Mexico.
That's correct, Your Honor.
What's your authority for that?
We have an affidavit from David Enriquez, who is a well-known Mexican law expert. He's authored 8 textbooks. He teaches in a Mexican law school and also a practicing maritime lawyer in Mexico. And his testimony that we presented was that there was no NREM action available in Mexico.
Well, let me just tell you my take on this is we have an appeal from Judge Gittner. Mm-hmm. We've got a record in that case, and fundamentally that's the case that we're hearing today. And I'm glad to hear you say how this NREM action affects that, but I think fundamentally we're hearing an appeal from Judge Gittner.
I agree, Your Honor. We are reviewing Judge Hittner's order. We felt it was appropriate to bring to the court's attention the arrest of the vessel because we do believe it is material. But fundamentally, we are reviewing Judge Hittner's order and whether it's appropriate to keep this matter in the U.S. or for it to be dismissed based on form nonconvenience.
Along those lines, if we agreed that the NREM action has some impact here, would the right procedural mechanism be to vacate the order and send it back for Judge Hittner to weigh the factors anew with the presence of the NREM action, rather than ourselves deciding that the NREM trumps something or doesn't trump something or whatever? If we decide that's a material fact, is the right procedural step to send it back for a new review, or are we supposed to now reweigh the factors with the NREM thrown in?
I believe given the change of circumstances, and we cited several cases that allowed the court to consider such changes in circumstances, that the court has the power to vacate the underlying order and reverse and, in fact, even transfer it so it can be consolidated in the Eastern District of Louisiana with the NREM case.
But that's a merits FNC case determination, right? Or are you saying send it to Judge Lemon to decide the FNC?
Judge Lemon could decide the FNC. I mean, you have two cases arising out of the same set of facts, the same incident. The parties are different in that in one you have the NREM defendant and the other you do not. And the claims against the NREM defendant, because it relates to a maritime lien, do differ. But it's arising all out of the same set of facts, and it involves a group of defendants that all acknowledge that the Eastern District of Louisiana is an appropriate forum.
You know, the district judge needs to resolve all that. We might have the power to do it, but I don't see why it would be wise for us to transfer it.
Even if the district judge were to vacate the NREM procedure, the court would continue to retain jurisdiction. If you look at the Barge Caribe case versus offshore supply ships, it was a matter that I believe Judge Higginbotham was involved in. It's quite some time ago in 1999, where the court did release a vessel. On appeal, the Fifth Circuit found that that release was inappropriate and found that the court retained jurisdiction and that the case could go forward, a judgment could be rendered, and the parties would then have an opportunity to either re-seize the vessel or pursue judgment as against the defendants. Here, the defendants, they all reside in this district. The vessel, this is her home port, so there's nothing inconvenient about seizing a vessel in her home port. It is not as though we tracked her around the world. Yes, sir. With regard to the case before us now, the burden that Hornbeck had was to prove that there was an alternate available forum. And in that regard, the court did not hold Hornbeck to their burden. There is a statute of limitations issue in Mexico. The court did not address the statute of limitations issue. The Mexican form is not available.
I want to ask about that. I understand the idea that if, because of the passage of time in the Texas action, now the action's barred in Mexico, that that's an issue that the Texas judge would need to deal with and make sure that didn't cause a problem. But here, that's not the problem. The problem is that y'all didn't appear in the Mexico action. That has nothing to do with the Texas FNC determination. That's a matter of you didn't appear in Mexico. So why should the judge kind of undo your own conscious decision not to appear there as a condition of the transfer or the dismissal and presumably refiling in Mexico?
We have the right to bring the lawsuit where the defendants reside. They reside in the U.S. We brought the suit here in order to recover from them, in order to obtain a judgment from them, and we brought the suit here. We have a right against the U.S. vessel.
Why the conditioning of the FNC dismissal encompass something that is not a passage of time issue, but is something you consciously decided not to go to Mexico? Why should the judge have to kind of undo that in order for the FNC dismissal to be upheld?
Well, the court has jurisdiction here. We have a right to proceed in the United States. It is for the convenience of the court, if the court wishes to dismiss and send us to a different forum, that would be affected. And so the court should have, if the court was going to deal with this issue, the court would have had the option to require them to waive any statute of limitations issue. And typically, in a forum nonconvenience dismissal, you require that. You require that the defendants agree that they will appear, that they will waive any jurisdictional issues, that they will waive any statute of limitation issues.
But
it gives the party.
True where you all have caused the limitations problem, not the passage of time, but rather your own conduct.
We filed here in the U.S., and during that period of time while we were pending in the U.S., the statute of limitations expired in Mexico.
If you had made an appearance in Mexico, could that have been considered you submitting yourself to the jurisdiction in Mexico?
Yes, it could have, Your Honor. And mind you, the Mexican limitation action is a procedural mechanism. It is not a liability lawsuit. We would have had to gone to Mexico and filed a liability lawsuit. We chose to file that here, and we were proceeding here, and during that period of time, the statute of limitation expired in Mexico.
You're arguing that the district court did not adequately determine the availability of the alternative forum?
Yes, sir.
And that inadequacy took the form of a failure to consider the limitations issue, is that it?
Yes, they failed to consider that. They also failed, the court also failed to consider the availability of witnesses. There are a large number, the availability of third-party witnesses. There are a large number of third-party witnesses that are in the U.S. A large number of them are in Houston. A large number are also here in Louisiana, and we have some in Florida and some in New York. Like many things,
I was focusing on the scope of the district court ability in this case to eliminate barriers to your being able to present in the alternative forum by the conditional grant. So, and I think the suggestion of my colleague is that shouldn't include a default by yourself, by your not filing in the action there.
Your Honor, had we chose to file in Mexico, that would have been proceeding in another forum. We chose to file in the U.S. and we were proceeding in the U.S. and during that lapse of time.
We reversed that ground, but what should the district court have done?
What should the district court have done? They should have retained jurisdiction here.
I'm sorry?
They should have. The district court should have retained the case. We had key third-party witnesses here in the U.S. that we cannot obtain their testimony in Mexico. The court failed to reconcile and deal with the issues, evidentiary issues. There were disputed evidentiary issues that Hornbeck never presented clear evidence with regard to that, and the court never made rulings with regard to the evidentiary issues.
The trial judge could have solved the time limitation problem by making the transfer conditional on them waiving that, right?
As to the time limitation problem, but the court could not address the issues of the necessary third-party witnesses most of which were located in Houston. This was a very complex repair, and it involved two classification societies, numerous engineering companies, and it was a very complex affair to deal with this issue. These witnesses are not available in Mexico. The witnesses in Mexico that the defendants point out were witnesses on board the vessel. Well, it's admitted that the only two people on board the vessel that saw what happened, and that's Mr. Schimmel, the mate that was fell asleep and woke up just before the collision, and the deckhand that woke him up. We have already taken Mr. Schimmel's deposition. There was an allegation that someone on the Ilier might have seen it. No one on the Ilier has seen it. We have statements that no one saw it on board. There was an allegation that perhaps there was a helicopter with people in it that might have seen it. We've obtained a statement from the person on the helicopter, and we know that there are no witnesses there. So this idea that there are witnesses that show that the Ilier somehow jumped down in front of the Beaufort with a mate that's asleep.
The district court did mention the Mexican counterpart to our Coast Guard. I guess that relates to whether the boat, whether the drill ship was where it was supposed to be.
And that was Mercante, and actually they found that that evidence to be irrelevant. There was also an allegation that there was some investigation by Pemex, but the truth of the matter is Hornbeck directed their captain to exclude the Pemex person, to escort him off of the vessel. So there was no Pemex investigation. There was an allegation that there was a Halliburton investigation that occurred on paper well after this incident happened, and two Hornbeck employees participated in that. So,
thank you. You have the time left for a book.
Good morning. I'm George Fowler. The court is correct. What's before us is not the arrest of the vessel. That's before Judge Lemon, and presumably she'll decide on that.
Can we get your take, though, on the question of whether that should result in us vacating the underlying order in this case and remanding for Judge Hittner to consider anew the F and C factors in view of this arrest?
Yes. I argued seven reasons why the arrest should be vacated to Judge Lemon, and there's a variety, like it's latched. I mean, it's beyond 1 year statute of limitations. They waited 3 years to arrest in Louisiana. There's also the issue of res judicata. I've cited a number of cases to Judge Lemon, not to this court, where the issue of, you know, you have an in rem and in personam action separately, but it's the same facts. You're looking at the same thing that Judge Hittner looked at.
Talking about shouldn't the Judge Hittner have an opportunity to consider whether this in rem seizure, let's say if it sticks, particularly if it sticks, whether that should be a factor in whether he transfers or dismisses the action based on form not convenience?
Well, actually, Judge Hittner did look at the issue that the vessel had come to Louisiana for repairs.
He didn't consider the fact that there's an in rem action now pending. I mean, that wasn't seized at the time.
It wasn't seized, but there was an in rem action filed in Texas.
You know, that's kind of mean until you have a seizure.
Okay, but in what way would an in rem seizure, you know, 3 years after the incident, change the operative facts that he looked at and analyzed?
I don't know whether you have an in rem question about that. I can see where that would make a difference.
Well, there's nothing in the record about, you know, whether or not there's a in rem right in Mexico. It wasn't an issue.
So this affidavit of Mr. Enriquez didn't actually happen?
Well, I'm sure it happened, Your Honor. It wasn't raised. The issue of in rem arrest was not before Judge Hittner.
No, I mean, because it didn't happen. What we're asking is, We understand Judge Hittner didn't consider something that had not yet happened. We're saying, should he be given the opportunity to do so?
I think the analysis that he made took into account all the relevant factors. You know, the fact that 3 years later...
So, I mean, your answer is no.
No, there's nothing for him to consider. I don't see that it changes anything. The vessel had come here before. They didn't arrest it. This is a Mexican case. It occurred in Mexico. Judge Hittner did a very detailed analysis of the private and public interest factors, and he came out exactly where he should come out. This is a case that belongs in Mexico. And, you know, the fact that the vessel that operates exclusively in Mexico, both vessels, with Mexican crews operating for Pemex in Mexico, the fact that it came for repairs to Louisiana and they nabbed it, you know, after the time period, it shouldn't have anything to do with it, with this certainly not this court right before you. And I think I pointed it out in my brief, and you seem to have agreed with that notion. I want to address the statute of limitations. Statute of limitations, this has been a progressive argument. First, it was the time bar on the limitation of liability proceeding. That was raised for the first time before Judge Lemon. And there's nothing in the record that this court is reviewing regarding statute of limitations or time bar. The argument was made, so I don't know how this Court of Appeal, Court of Appeal can do anything it wants to, but there's nothing in the record, whereby that argument was entertained. I mean, I read cover to cover the transcript before Judge Hittner. They never argued that to Judge Hittner. They're arguing it now because a few days ago, I argued that there was a one-year statute of limitations, analogous statute of limitations under the state of Louisiana. They're arguing a personal injury, analogous statute of limitations. There's no personal injury here.
See, I'm not talking so much about statute of limitations, but about this 60 days to file something. Their argument is they had 60 days to come into Mexico and file something. If they did that, they'd be ceding jurisdiction to the Mexican courts, which they wanted their opportunity to come to a U.S. court. So they instead filed in the U.S. court. So I think they're almost arguing sort of a tolling thing, that while this action was pending in the U.S. and they're fighting the FNC, the 60-day period should be tolled in Mexico, and that should be part of the conditioning of the FNC dismissal. So what is your response to that?
My response to that is the happenings before Judge Hittner and the happenings before Judge Lemon have nothing to do with this case. This case belongs in Mexico. They're a Mexican company.
I'm not debating that right now. What I'm saying is Judge Hittner agreed with you. He said it should go to Mexico.
Right.
But he conditioned that on y'all agreeing to the jurisdiction there and certain other conditions.
Right.
And that's very common in these FNC orders.
Correct.
The question is, should one more condition have been, and whatever time was left on the 60-day clock when the plaintiffs filed in Texas should remain on the clock when you go to Mexico?
Well, I guess that'll be decided by Mexican judge based upon Mexican law. But it's not, in my view, Your Honor, it's not before this court. And I think you pointed it out, and we pointed it out in our brief. This is a very sophisticated group of lawyers. They made their bed, and they had to lie in it. They chose not to appear in the limitation of liability proceeding. They could have appeared there. That's where they should have appeared. That's where they should have made their claims. They didn't do it. They chose not to. So now they say, oh, give us a break on limitation. They didn't even argue it before Judge Hittner. You don't have anything in the record upon which to look at that. Now, if this court wishes to look beyond those two issues, that they didn't argue it, and it is of their own making, and there's case law on that, this court certainly has the power to affirm and send it back with yet one more condition, but I don't think that's right. I don't think it's a fair thing to do, because we've been in this case
What about, though, this argument that they would have waived? I mean, I don't think their filing in the U.S. is frivolous, whether or not we ultimately affirm Judge Hittner's order. They had a valid argument, or they had a basis to make an argument that they should be in the United States. And so putting them to the burden of either ceding jurisdiction when they have this argument in the U.S. or losing any opportunity to ever go to Mexico seems very high-stakes poker. So is there some other way? That's really what we're trying to understand here.
Well,
could they have filed the equivalent of a special appearance in Mexico?
Yes, they could have done a lot of things.
Well,
Judge, just flip it. So let's say this is the Deepwater Horizon case, and we people file in Mexico. I mean, that's a decision they chose to make. They're a Mexican company. All this business about the company that owns the vessel being from the Bahamas. Totally a Mexican operation with an incident that occurred in Mexico, just as Judge Hittner found. And then they decided, well, I don't like the limitation of liability law in Mexico, and it's tougher than the one here. It's easier to bust limitation here than it is over there. And they said, we're going to roll the bones, so to speak, and go to Texas. But, you know, Texas had absolutely no contacts, none. They've got some surveyors that actually had Mexicans in Mexico doing the work. But there's no context at all. But that's a decision they made. And these are very sophisticated, smart lawyers. And this is a big company.
But, you know, before a U.S. court dismisses a case for forum nonconvenience, it assures itself that there's an available forum somewhere else.
That's correct.
Part of that available forum is not having some short limitation period going to prevent you from having that forum. And, you know, we've got cases. I think the Fourth Circuit has a case that says it's very harsh to send somebody to another forum where the time limitation is going to bar their claim.
Well, the case is going both ways, but I know a very recent case from Judge Higginbotham and Judge Haynes in the city of New Orleans case where they said that the main rule in this circuit is that you have a right to return to the United States if they don't take jurisdiction. That's the rule of this circuit.
Well, I'm talking about if the judge said transfer of this case is conditioned on the availability of a forum in Mexico, including no bar, time bar, unless it's one created by their own making. I wouldn't have any, you know, that's the only thing you're talking about. I don't think you're talking.
Judge, I'm in agreement with you, but they never raised it before Judge Hittner, so how could he have put that additional condition? It's not in your record. It's not in your record.
They say it is, so, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think they say that there's some mentioned by some Mexican lawyer, but it wasn't raised in the district court levels. How could it be on appeal, raised on appeal for the first time? Now,
There wasn't a question about the statute that required an appearance within 60 days, and they didn't appear, so they had a suit pending in Texas. What other records?
I'm going to speculate. I'll speculate about in the limitation liability. They probably in Mexico. They could probably go in there and file something. But I don't know. It wasn't an issue, and I never. We argued at length with Judge Hittner, and it's not in the transcript. And they didn't argue it.
You're saying it's in the affidavit from this Mexican expert, but they didn't brief it to the judge or argue it at the hearing.
Right, that's correct. Okay. And an argument not raised before the district court cannot be asserted for the first time on appeal. The Fifth Circuit 2008 decision, Specialty Insurance Company versus Kuwait Offshore Service. And so that's the law is pretty clear. It's and Judge Haynes, you articulated as well as I could. You know, they're in this situation of their own making. You know, they didn't.
Well, it is of their own making, but the concern that I have is, are they required, I think they have a non-frivolous argument for jurisdiction in the United States. Whether it's a winner is a different question. And are they required to give that up by appearing in Mexico or face the possibility that they get nothing anywhere? That seems awfully harsh, and we typically don't put people to that kind of choice in this whole FNC department.
You know, I'm not as sympathetic as you are to the harshness of the situation.
Well, I think you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not because
I'm neutral, and you're not.
I can be neutral. And I'm not going to be neutral in this because this is a well-thought-out form-shopping approach. These are sharp lawyers. Been against them before. And they know what they were doing, and they made a conscious decision along with a very sophisticated client. They made a choice, and they lost. And they lost clean. The Judge Hittner's decision, I don't think can be reversed under any circumstances. He was very shrewd in how he handled it. He didn't decide choice of law, so it's an abuse of discretion. I've been on the other side of that standard, and I think I try to get your names on form nonconvenience cases. I stopped counting at 80 cases. So, you know, the standard is pretty harsh. It has to be an abuse of discretion. By Judge Hittner, and there was no abuse of discretion whatsoever. You know.
You have anything else to add?
No, Judge. Thank you very much.
There were several issues that were raised that I would like to address. First,
tell me what you will find in the record about where you argue that as a condition of transfer, there should be a waiver of the time bar limitations.
With regard to the statute of limitations issue, there are actually two affidavits that were issued by David Enriquez. The first one deals with the statute of limitation, and the second one deals with the
right, but did you actually argue that the order should contain the condition, not have somewhere in an affidavit the fact that the time had run?
We argued that the case should not be dismissed. We raised the issue that there was not an adequate available form, and it's in the record at 243. There is an
question. Did you raise it or not?
Yes, we did raise it.
You raised that it should be conditioned, that any dismissal should be conditioned on a waiver of the time bar.
We raised the issue that there was not an adequate available forum.
Can you answer the question directly?
I'm trying to remember exactly if those words were spoken, Your Honor. I remember arguing that there was not an adequate forum, and when the order came out, the order did not contain, as we would have expected, anything in the order regarding statute of limitations, regarding waiver of statute of limitations, and we appealed that order. So,
did you ask the district judge, Judge Hittner, to put that condition in with regard to waiver of the statute of limitations, yes or no?
Your Honor, I'm sorry, I don't recall. I don't believe we did, because I believe what we were arguing.
Recall it didn't happen. Don't give me a don't recall. You're here, you know your record, and you don't know your record. And I don't want to take don't recall from a lawyer. That's ducking and dodging. That's just not doesn't serve you well.
My apologies, Your Honor. I do not believe we did. I do not believe we did, because our focus at that point was pointing out to the court the lack of adequacy of the available form.
Okay. You had other points you wanted to make.
With regard to the tolling issue that you raised, and you're correct, if you only have 60 days, it's a very short period. We were put to the choice of do we file in the U.S. or not? We had a right to file in the U.S.
Did you file the Texas action during the first 60 days? Because I thought there was like a proceeding against Codemar and then a later proceeding against one of the other companies. When did the Texas case get filed vis-a-vis the running of the first 60 days?
I believe we filed within that first 60 days, and then they filed a second limitations action. And with regard to those limitations actions, they have named Codamar, they named Ocean Oil, they never served Ocean Oil, and they have never named the owner of the vessel, which
okay,
is
so
Exeter.
So would it run, the 60 days wouldn't run as to them then? That's your argument.
Well, no, the argument has been that it ran as to everyone because it is
right,
the limitations.
It's not a winner unless Mexico has no concept of due process at all, which I have no reason to think. I mean, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, the argument is with regard to the limitation, there, once it's run, it's run. That's it. And it would apply as to all of them. But it's defendant's burden to show that there is this available forum, and they have failed to show that there is an available forum in Mexico because of the statute of limitations issue. They've likewise failed to deal with the availability of important third-party witnesses in Mexico. Those are key, and those are in the U.S. And we would submit that Judge Hittner, in reviewing this matter, failed to resolve the evidentiary issues and failed to address the important issues as to the availability of the jurisdiction or to appropriately protect the plaintiffs if he were to dismiss this matter.
Okay,
thank you, Your Honor.